This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two of Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM WGBW in Green Bay, where it is 31 degrees below zero.
Feels like. Wow, that is cold, though.
98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in both Appleton and Oshkosh, and of course the Civic Media app, and 1590 AM and 1100 AM, where, yes, 12 below in Green Bay, 9 below in Appleton, 9 below in Oshkosh, and it feels like 31 degrees below zero. If you don't believe me, ask Beth Kowalski from the Neville Public Museum and the 110th Green Bay Art College Exhibition.
Right across the river.
I know that. You know, I thought about it. But
I know you
no.
did last time, but it's. Yeah, it wasn't. Feels like minus 31. So all right, we excuse you for driving.
You know, I want to throw this out there real quick. I want people to text Todd about this. We won't interrupt your segment here, Beth. But there's always been a discussion. Should you warm up your car on really cold days or not? Because there was a thought for a while where, no, you don't. When I grew up, it's like, oh, my God, you got to go warm up the car. And then other times it said, no, it's better to just go and not let it warm up. But I think because of the new synthetic oil, that's changed. So if we have, like, a serious person that works in a garage, not just a guy. Well, my cousin Tony's brother-in-law said, Somebody that works with cars, please let us know. Is it better to warm up a car on cold days like this or not? And is there a timer? Because then I've heard, well, a couple of minutes, but not like some people do 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, don't you warm
Please
it
let
up
us know.
Till it's like 72, 73?
I've heard
inside
where you should
the car.
Not do that. No, you don't warm up till 72 inside the car. You'd be here till May.
I don't know about that.
72 inside your car on a day like today? You're going to need that to run high tech for like 15 minutes.
10.
Mm. Do you have one of those remote starters? I used to have those. Never worked
right,
though.
The mafia starter?
Yeah.
I used to when I was in office.
Yeah, you got to do me a favor. When you want, Tony, go start up my car for me.
Yeah, if it wasn't working, honey, would you go mine start?
Hey, go take a look at this. Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum, talking about a great thing. The 110th?
10th.
Oh, it's the...
Yeah, it is.
110th?
Yes.
I thought that was like a misprint.
Nope.
110.
You thought it was the 10th or the 11th?
Yeah. I thought one of the two. Right, Green Bay Art Culinary Exhibition, 110 years?
Yes.
Starts Saturday.
Yep. Wow.
So this is cool. I mean, this obviously isn't new. It's a great
That's at the start of World War I.
It is.
Okay. Beth?
Wow.
So the Green Bay Art Colony, which was the Green Bay Art Club, is the origins of the Neville Pollock Museum. So in 1915, when we started, it was all about the Green Bay Art Colony. It was to bring the world to Green Bay, and they hosted different exhibitions. And so it's been a continuous program from our old building to our new building. It's a practicing contemporary group of women, and it's a phenomenal show. So,
this needs more pub. I mean, you got your art group, but the fact that you guys existed nonstop for 110 years is amazing.
I don't know that it's the best known thing, you know, and it 110 years.
That's why I'm here today.
It's more exposure and accolades.
No, I'm glad you're here because I think that's besides. And you're gonna talk about.
I was looking at that. Oh, the gummies that Jim gave me last night are hitting a little bit more here. Is that 11th or is it the 10th or is it? He gave me a sleep gummy last night.
This is what happened. I don't sleep through the night. I always get up.
And this is a totally true story. He'll verify.
It's like, oh, and people are like, oh, you should sleep. Go see the doctor. And I don't want to get on anything prescription because that's not always great. So I was reading, and there was this, like, extra strength, whatever, gummies for sleep. And I think they're legal. They have to be.
Because they're totally legal.
Well, you put it in Wisconsin when it says where you ship them to.
You can buy them next door at the market here.
That same one?
Not the same one, but I think they probably got the same ingredients.
They have X amount, the maximum TSC or whatever that is, and maximum something else. So I bought them. Took one. I didn't like it at all. I was like, okay, this. I just, I don't know, whatever. It's just. stomach ache. So I gave him to John, and he took one last night, and okay. I called him to wake him up.
I couldn't find my phone last night. You know, but it's like, well, I never sleep till my alarm. Never, ever, 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 ever. Normally, and we talk about this, I'm up at least an hour before I have to get up. Always. Took one of those last night watching the game, okay? 9:30, and I never sleep more than 5 hours a night, and I slept like however many hours it was till he called me and woke me up. Yes. It's like, oh my God, what just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm on this, you know, when you buy them, you can, I hit the wrong button. It's on this quick ship. So you get them again and again. So I canceled them, but I'm going to get some more.
So I'm late for work a lot. Yeah.
John, you got to go to bed earlier. John, right. Anyway, Beth, so 110 years, 1915, which is a long time ago.
Unbelievable.
Is this art colony. I think what's cool, we could talk about the origin of it and the history, but I want to focus on the exhibit that's coming up Saturday.
So Saturday, the exhibit opens. So the artwork has been delivered. It's being hung this week in the gallery. And on Saturday, we're going to have a presentation and an award ceremony. So it's a juried show where the art colony hires another artist to come on, take a look, and select pieces of work. So we're going to have an award ceremony at 3:00 on Saturday, and everybody's welcome to come participate and meet the artists, meet their families, and get a really chance to see the diversity in the contemporary art that they're creating right now.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm a historian, kind of not. I have to go back to like 1915, and I read Linda Drew's book, which is really an amazing book. And I'm sure she captured the flavor of the way it was for women in those days. And they're pretty downtrodden in a lot of ways. I mean, not a lot of rights. I mean, they were almost like some of these poor women that were, you know, domestic help weren't much more than an indentured servant and everything. So I guess what I'm saying is, for there to have been an organization where you embrace, hey, you got artistic talent, bring it out. You don't have to be, and please don't take this wrong, you don't have to be stuck in the kitchen cooking more bread for your guy type of thing, where there was an opportunity for this artistic talent to come out. That's the part that surprises me and I think is so awesome.
It's part of Green Bay's story. It's, you know, strong women coming together, supporting each other, bringing the world to Green Bay,
yes,
believing in arts and culture in our community and staying strong for over 110 years.
Awesome.
So it's all local exhibits? Or tell me about the exhibits.
It's all local artists. So it's about 22 practicing contemporary artists, and they can submit a handful of pieces. So I think we ended up with about 45 pieces of contemporary art. We did lose one of the Green Bay Art Colony members last year, unfortunately. She passed away. And so there's a tribute to Amy Jo Ellison in the exhibit. So some of her partner selected some of her pieces of artwork. So we have a tribute to Amy.
Awesome.
Which she's, again, amazing.
One of our friends has a exhibit in there, the Mirror Garage, right?
So Naomi Mose Jenkins has a piece submitted.
It's pretty cool art she has. Yep, I mean, it's all great art.
It's really cool sculptured rabbit. So again, this is something that's multimedia. It's photography. It's oils. It's acrylics. It's sculpture. It's I think there's even a fiber piece in there. So it's one of those things where it's multi pieces, multiple perspectives, but the all local women.
And the artists are going to be there?
Yes.
That's cool.
On
when
Saturday.
You can talk, that's fun when you can talk to the artist and where'd you come up with this and how'd you get started?
Yeah definitely. So literally Saturday's the day. Come to the museum. It's going to probably still be a little chilly outside. Perfect day to be indoors.
Right.
You know, everything will be open. Science will be open, and we'll even have a Youth Art Month exhibit up as well.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
This
good
goes
for
on
you.
For a little while, which is nice. I mean, The kickoff is Saturday.
It's usually our winter show that we have in one of the upper galleries, and it's through early March, so March 9th.
What's your layout? Where is this?
So this is in the upper right-hand gallery, adjacent to the core gallery, and because right now we still have holidays up for like another week.
Okay.
And that comes down because we're getting ready for dinosaurs in March.
Okay, awesome. I like that you guys keep things rocking in that way.
Yeah, we definitely do.
But the talent level, and Jim and I have talked about that at the Art Garage at night. It's like, at least they've got that, and they've got you guys. But some of this incredible talent, I mean, the people that do some of that stuff are just as talented in what they do as what somebody does at Lambeau Field on a Sunday afternoon. We all have our own chromosomal, or if you want to say God-given, whatever is your talents. And I just think it's great that some of these talents, which are a little below the surface on a normal basis, really come to light. I think those people, I'm not just saying that, I have all the respect and admiration for their talents.
Yes.
And this is great that you give them an opportunity to come together and show it.
Right. And we need a place to display that talent.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're getting better. We're doing pretty well with music, I think, you know, with the Tarleton and some of these other smaller venues.
Yeah,
and of course,
right.
The larger venues are getting, you know, they're pretty strong too. You know, the Schwabenen Theater and, of course, the Meyer. Of course, the Widener, too. But I just think there's places you can grow in the visual.
In performing arts.
In performing arts.
And accessibility.
Right.
You know, accessibility. Because, again, not everybody can afford a ticket. Not everybody can afford an admission piece.
Yeah.
You know, so, again, it's at all those different levels of how do you make it accessible to our community so they can understand and thrive.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it's encouraging young people that might have some talent.
Exactly. I went to an event last night, and one of the presenters talked about opening up another maybe art garage in the downtown, an art display, art gallery. I guess art gallery is the right word, an art gallery, which would be great. It's just, it's hard to make a lot of money on those things. It's, you kind of have a little bit of an endowment or.
Absolutely. It is. Obviously, we have an admission fee, but we have free days once a month.
Right.
But again, it's one of those things where if you're trying to help the artist sell their art or promote their art, it is definitely. The best thing is, as community advocates, is go and experience.
Right.
Go and experience. Go take opportunities to go seek out those things where galleries pop up and you get an opportunity to explore.
I was good friends with a gentleman who passed away within the last 6 months, but the Trout Museum in downtown Appleton,
yes.
Wasn't that a great place?
It is. I'm actually going to go there on Friday night.
Oh, no kidding.
There's an exhibit opening that is about Northeastern Wisconsin art, and it has some ties to the Neville Public Museum and our first female curator.
I would love something like that in Green Bay. Wouldn't that be awesome? They moved, I believe, though, right?
Not yet.
Haven't, okay.
They haven't moved yet. So This is their last exhibit in their building, and they will be moving on.
Dr. Trout, did you ever meet him?
I didn't.
What
no,
an amazing gentleman he was.
Heard that.
That got that started. Just incredible. He passed away, like I said, about 6 months. United States Marine veteran.
Mm.
But I could see something like that in Green Bay. That would just be spectacular, don't you?
I do. And like I said, the Neville does quite a bit with the art function, so it's one third of what
right.
we do. So, you know, again, at any point in time, you can come and see
right.
art.
Yeah, no question about it. One other thing, though, I talk with the local artists. How's the underground art scene? Do you know what I mean? Where these people, it's like, we want to create art, but maybe it's not for that. You know, other cities have that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to keep connections with all of our community artists. So smaller run groups, volunteer groups, artists, you know, so we're trying to always keep an eye on who's doing what. And then we ask a lot of questions. Who do you think, you know, we could be working with? We always try to embed an art project into every like local history exhibit or even science exhibit. So going back to Naomi, back a couple years ago when we did a science exhibit, we called her and had her make some custom art for us that was tied to science because we knew she had the right medium to do that.
That's awesome.
You talked about the dinosaurs are coming up exhibits. Exhibits are, I mean, you got to admit, museums are great, but it's sure nice when they bring in something new.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
For some of us who like to go to that.
Hold on.
I just want to talk about, are you doing anything for the NFL draft? Is that an art?
Yes, we are.
Okay, is that an...
Photography.
Okay, I didn't know if that was like an art kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But that's awesome that you're leaning into that a little bit. We'll talk about that. I want to know what you're going to do when you get back.
Yeah, when you talk art, photography is art.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, all right, what about talking? Is talking an art?
Yes, it is.
We're in.
And we're going to start our quick break. Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum, 110th year Green Bay Art Colony Exhibition. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Boy, that doesn't conjure up 1982, does it?
Was it 82? Is that
was it? Dire Straits, 1982. Yeah. The Walk of Life, ladies and gentlemen. Coming your way here in a cold, frigid morning. Downtown Green Bay, downtown Appleton, downtown Oshkosh, and all parts in between. Feels like 31 degrees below zero out there. Beth Kowalski took her bike here today from Bellevue and drove down.
Just a bit outside.
Right. Sure.
Beth Kowalski.
Or we're going to look over. He's going to have mayonnaise on him like Harry Carey. Okay, well, good.
That was funny the day I had it on my mic. Where was that?
That was funny.
When I had mayonnaise on my mic.
When we did the thing from Simple Life Hospitality.
You're correct.
Yeah, that was
funny.
So, Beth, you run the Neville Museum here in Green Bay. It's downtown Green Bay. It's a county-run facility. 11 years?
11 years.
congrats to you. I'm glad you're here because that is getting elevated more. And you've got a big display coming up this weekend. We talked a little bit about the Green Bay, the Art Colony. Exhibits, the artists are going to be on hand. It's really contemporary art.
Contemporary art. All female artists, contemporary art, and they will be on site for an awards presentation. And so definitely come check us out.
Is there a qualifying to get involved or so to be invited?
You be a member of the Art Colony, so it is an invitation to become part of that. And then, like I said, they bring in a juror from outside of their organization. So even the Neville staff, we don't get a chance to pick.
We just kind of anonymous.
Yeah. And so then it's selected and based on integrity and the works of art.
And I know everybody's into art for the sake of art. But the next best thing is getting paid for it.
Yes.
Let's all be honest.
Yes.
Because people have no idea the time, the sweat, the everything that goes into something like that. Is this a good opportunity? I mean, I would love to come there and just kick the tires and peruse and
Look at the expenses.
But do you get other people that might be thinking, I'm looking for some potential artist for my gallery someplace?
Yeah, definitely. So, and then also some of the pieces are for sale. So we do help artists out. We help them, sell their pieces. So
okay, that's
not awesome. Not everything is for sale because the other thing, depends on the artist, but there is a for sale list.
Okay. Outstanding.
And what's the cost again for the museum? We talked about, you got the family package. Just go over that one more time.
So,
then I want to kind of segue in the last few minutes about the draft and if you're doing anything, but tell me more. I want to put a bow on this exhibit. How much is it?
So $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, $8 or $6 for youth and students.
Great.
And military, both active and retired, are free year round.
That's awesome. That's
so cool. Great.
You know another thing that's underrated? The little the little monument you have behind your place kind of on the river.
Yep, the veterans.
It's pretty cold this year when I was there with the guys.
Yes.
That wind coming off the water was a little brisk. But that's a really neat, and you know what? That's one of the things that I've had parents of Gold Star family, Vietnam veterans, say they really like that one because it's not big and glitz or anything. It's almost like humble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a really good place to reflect.
Exactly. And that's what they say. It's not like this big, look at, whatever. With the people that built that one, they didn't build it for
themselves.
The hoopla.
They built it for the soldiers.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's a real sincere. It's lower keyed, more humble, very serene, and it's set in a way you almost have to know where it is, where there's privacy if you're sitting there. When I was doing my show at the VFW this year, like I was doing Duck Creek, and all the guys, like, I remember for years, it's like, why are all these guys leaving all at once? And that's where they were going.
Yeah.
And they were almost like the only ones that really knew about it because it wasn't real publicized or anything. But that has meant a lot to not only the Vietnam veterans, but the parents of who lost somebody in Vietnam. So whoever came up with that idea back there, kudos to them, because it's still a very poignant place for our Vietnam veterans.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're right on Museum. Everybody knows where you are, but you're on what? Museum Place? Is that the name?
Museum Place.
That's the road. It's free parking there.
Yes.
Which is great. Besides this, what are the other? This is 1/3 of your exhibit space. What else? What do you have?
So
there
we
right
have
now?
Science anchored down to the first floor. We have our local history core gallery, and then we have the rotating spaces. So Art Colony is one of the rotating pieces that'll be here. We are getting ready to bring in dinosaurs in March. So March through end of August will be a temporary traveling dinosaur exhibit, looking at the scientific exploration of dinosaurs in the region.
And that overlaps the NFL draft?
That overlaps the NFL draft. And then we'll have in our community room. So we always have Lego Lambo in Spectacular Science. Every day you can come in and check out Lego Lambo, which is pretty cool. But in our community room, we have an amazing photography collection at the Neville and a film collection. We have over 1 million negatives, historic negatives from the Press Gazette, mostly from the Press Gazette, but also from Hank Lefebvre as a photographer, and Otto Stiller. And so we're going to be leaning into those photography, how they took the community aspect of the Packers. So they did a lot of on-the-ground photography and how they looked through the lens of the community that we are.
If you find pictures like 8x10 black and whites that has Stiller stamped on the back for Packer pictures, those are valuable.
Yes, they are.
Those have become big collector items, Stiller.
Yep. We're very fortunate that Otto Stiller and his wife donated his collection.
Kidding.
So we have the Otto Stiller
collection. Because I've seen him pop up at auctions once in a while.
Yep.
Yeah, those are valuable. I think the Vern Beaver ones might get to that level at some point. Are they going to donate any of theirs to you guys?
It's possible. Okay. It's every day we get offers, but like those are the big collections.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool stuff.
And you can't take everything you're offered either. I mean, as much
no,
as
we
you
can't.
Want
I
to.
I would love to see your storage room.
And it's right there. Trip. It's on campus.
Because when we were with the Vietnam, the Veterans Museum in Oshkosh, they used to, when I did my thing in Appleton with the village there, they'd let me go. It's a big warehouse where they keep all their big snowplows and everything. And it was just fun going through the things they just don't have space for. You must have a room like that, right?
We do on the third floor. It was the building was built to be. So, yeah, you're welcome to come take a tour.
I would love
that. If you
have
a mobile, you know, if this is a mobile unit, come on and we can do the show at the Neville.
I would love
that. But you might get a little sidetracked down the
aisles. Oh, you know I would.
We're fortunate to have that. And just thanks for what you're doing. I mean, you stuck around. I know you've gone through a couple people, but I mean, that's nice. We need that continuity.
Thank you. It's
a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place.
When you love what you do every day, and every day is in, we're connecting with the community and we're making things accessible and we're history, science, and art. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'd like to sit on your roof and watch the fireworks some night.
Okay.
That's got to be the most perfect place in Green Bay to watch fireworks.
It is. It definitely
April 23rd.
Got text here. The Neville is one of my all-time favorite places. Aww. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Yay. Yeah, really thank is. You.
That's awesome. Very cool.
All right. Well, we will see you there this Saturday with the...
Yes. Name, date, time, stuff like that one more time.
Neville Public Museum, NevillePublicMuseum.org, Green Bay Art Colony, Saturday, Art Awards.
Phenomenal. Best of luck with this.
Yes.
Appreciate you coming in, Beth. Want me to go warm up your bike?
All right.
When we come back, Jack Swanson, Guitars for Veterans. That's going to be awesome. Kim Massey coming up down the road. Wild Goose Exchange, which is a great place in downtown Appleton. Greg Vadney, Executive Director for the Rawr West Museum. Boy, it's our museum day.
It is.
Rawr West. Is that Two Rivers or Manitowoc?
Manitowoc.
Manitowoc. Nice.
It is. It's... These people are all smarter than us. You know that when they come in, right? These museum people. Yeah. We do a lot of research on you, so we kind of think we're not as dumb as we really are.
Beth Kowalski, you're awesome. Really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
I wish
for
I had your job.
Thank you.
Want to switch?
Maybe.
A couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Beth, we have some things missing from the storage room.
Missing our.
It's this old Packer helmet.
Are they with,
I don't know.
Usually
what
these
happened.
Curators know
John
a little bit
and
more.
He just went,
That guy's clueless.
Quick break, back after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The National Weather Service has issued an extreme cold warning through noon today. Officials said frigid weather could bring wind chills of 25 below zero or colder. Many school districts announced cancellations for today, including Green Bay and Appleton. Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, and Neenah already had plans to close today for teacher training. Residents are reminded to keep skin covered, wear loose-fitting layers, and wear gloves, hats, boots, and a scarf to cover your face if you're going to be outside for any length of time. Signs of hypothermia include excessive shivering, confusion, exhaustion, and slurred speech. Signs of frostbite include skin that turns white or grayish yellow, skin that feels waxy or too firm, and numbness. Local warming shelters can be found by dialing 211. Today's high is not expected to get above zero. Do not throw hot water on your frozen windows and doors to de-ice them, no matter what the trendy internet hacks say. This is from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. They took to their Facebook page to remind people that hot water, glass, and ice don't mix. That's how you get cracked and shattered windows. Instead, use your defrosters and wait for the car to warm up, then use a scraper to remove the ice and snow. And make sure to clear all your windows, windshields, and mirrors for full visibility. A Wasaki man was killed when he failed to yield to the right-of-way while leaving a private driveway onto U.S. Highway 141 last week. Marinette County Sheriff's officials say 58-year-old Russell Reynolds hit a vehicle driven by a 22-year-old Green Bay man Friday as he attempted to leave the driveway. Reynolds was not wearing a seatbelt and was ejected from the vehicle and sustained fatal injuries.
I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a frigid Tuesday morning. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 98.5 FM WISS in Oshkosh and Appleton. And don't forget the AM side, 1590 AM and 1100 AM. And, of course, the Civic Media app. It feels like 31 degrees below zero outside, ladies and gentlemen. It's 12 below regularly in Green Bay, 11 below in Appleton, 11 below in Oshkosh, and it feels like 31 degrees below zero.
The way you say below sounds like your lips are frozen.
I know. Special thanks to both Cheese Curd Nick and Beth Kowalski from the Neville Public Museum coming in today, talking about some great things. Now we have Jack Swanson, a friend of ours from Guitars for Veterans. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization. And I remember when somebody came to me and with the idea, and I can't even tell you what year, maybe 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And I thought, oh, really? Mm. And they explained the reason that they think teaching or guitar lessons for veterans, especially some, and you don't have to be, you know, again, the media kind of have a connotation of somebody who's post-traumatic stress. They're sitting in a dark room and whatever. They're not. These are very functioning people battling post-traumatic stress. But sometimes there are little things that can really improve their outlook on life. And I'm not trying to sound overly whatever, but a little bit on life. And Jack Swanson right here, Guitars for Vets. Jack, first of all, thanks for coming by again. And explain a little bit. Am I wrong in what I'm saying as far as the conception of this great organization?
No. And thanks for having me. Yeah, the power of music is there. And the idea is to get the guitar and the instrument into the hands of veterans and let it, the magic work. And I don't get it all the time. I don't understand it. But I've seen the ability to produce music really bring great benefits to veterans, and it's really fun to see.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, autistic kids, there's just a lot of music can be a therapy, and I'm really glad. I don't use the word therapy, but it can be for people struggling with things. Yesterday we had doctors and recitals on. It was just these doctors. Yeah. But I just want to say how that music, I think that music helped them become better doctors.
That's what I was going to say. It's like you think they're on top of the world, but they need music sometimes,
the stress
too.
They live with. And if they didn't have that outlet of music and that creative side, because they're so disciplined. I mean, you know, they can do stuff in their sleep. They're so disciplined. But anyway, I just think music is, we all win with music.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we provide 10 lessons and then provide the practice instrument and then the award guitar at the end of 10 lessons.
And this could be somebody that's never picked up a guitar before in their lifetime.
Right.
Or somebody that does have a background in it because some of your instructors, okay, let's go to your next level then.
We've seen it all. I mean, what I tell my instructors is that every vet is different. And we've had people come in that don't know which end of the guitar to hold and other guys that I run out of things to teach them.
Exactly, which is great.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty cool with music how you can, I mean, everyone can learn, but there's some kids, people that, boy, do they catch on quick.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like a foreign language.
Or that, or like, you know, you'll take somebody golfing. It's like, you're kind of a natural. And some of that music can happen, but it's good for everyone, no matter what level you're at.
It is. And the vets tell me that after four or five lessons, their fingers are hurting and they're kind of getting discouraged.
Right.
But if they can't sleep at night, they get up and strum a few chords,
right,
and it really starts to work. And we've had some vets even go off most of their meds and all, a lot of benefit coming from it.
So I know one in the very, very early goings had never touched a guitar before, basically,
mm-hmm,
and always loved music, and developed such a love for that that he then became one of your instructors in helping the other. You know what I mean?
So
he went from not holding guitar to, and again, he's not taking him up to, you know, Jimmy Page or something. You know what I mean? But something, hey, everybody, look at this. I'm going to play a song on the, it's like, how did you learn how to do that? That is such a great achievement for them.
Yeah. We started in May of 19 and we had two instructors, myself and Tom Barry, and we had a long waiting list. And as more students have come through, they become interested in becoming instructors. And now I have 9 instructors. We're really blessed with that. And so we can get a lot of vets through. But I tell my instructors, you don't have to be good. You have to be patient.
Yeah,
And it's learning the chords, learning a couple of songs, and Then we have tonight, we're having our graduate get together at the Tech, and we bring the graduates back and go through songs and just have a strum session, fun session, no pressure. But we don't want the vet to put the guitar in the closet and leave it after the 10 lessons. So we want to keep that fire going and learn more songs and make it fun and help people that, that need a little help, maybe changing strings or whatever it is. And so, yeah, that's tonight at the Tech.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
We do that about on the third Tuesday of every month.
You know, another thing one of the guys told me one time, he said the best part about it was I knew every week I had something to look forward to.
Yes.
It's like, it's not just meeting with my VA guy or whatever. I had something where I'm going to learn. It's exciting. It's challenging. And I can't wait to do it again.
And after the 10 lessons, we always tell the vets is they're welcome to come back for more. So I've had, one particular vet came back for a year, and I ran out of things to teach him.
Yeah, which is a great problem.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
The program's obviously successful. Been around for, what, you say 15 years?
At least,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, at least 15 years, and it seems to be checking all the boxes, right? You know, that whole, the discipline, moving ahead a little bit, feeling maybe a little self-accomplishment.
Exactly.
Music is challenging, but once you kind of learn to read it and everything, it you can really grow.
Because you know what?
Music.
Not everybody can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's over 100 chapters in the U.S. now, and it started in Milwaukee, and we were one of the beginning chapters as well. So, and Green Bay was, for sure. They were really in on it early.
And are you looking at expanding? Guitars are great, but is there other things you consider, you guys meet on, talk about?
Well, one of the founders of Guitars for Vets, Patrick Nettesheim, has started an expanded program called Music Success.
Oh, cool.
And that is opening things up for other folks with potential PTSD. So firefighters, policemen, first responders, really anybody that has a yearning for the healing of music. And with Music Success, we're able to offer more than guitars. So drums, bass, even keyboards. And so we're just starting on that, but that we're very excited about that.
When I first started with others with you guys, one of the first things was, how are we going to find enough guitars?
Right.
And Jim, you might have a solution.
People are good about donating things. And I work at the new community shelter, and we had somebody donate brand new guitars, which when she called, I was like, but homeless people too can learn. They need to do something. And like Johnny was talking about earlier, you'll feel a sense of accomplishment just incrementally.
Right.
You got to dig out of kind of where you're at. There's a lot that goes into, you know, getting a house, paying taxes again, but having an outlet and feeling good about yourself is a big part of it. So I have some extras. So you can come over, after this show, but it's something to do. But
that'd be great because we can always use guitars for the practice instruments.
Exactly.
And the nicer ones we can use as award guitars, but we get the award guitars from the National too. So
okay,
what can we do for you, Jack? I mean, you guys take this again about 15 years ago or so from zero to where you are right now. How many people have you had through the years, you think, locally?
We graduated just over 60, 60 veterans since May of 19.
Wow.
Come visit us at the farmer's market. You can contact us. My website is guitarsforvets.org. And then the Facebook site is guitarsforvets-appleton.
Jack, how did you get so involved? What's your background, your passion for this? Because there's got to be a spark.
I'm a retired physician. I was a cancer doc in Appleton for many years. And then I got into hospice and palliative care my last 12 years. And the veterans taught me so much through the VA system in med school and residency, et cetera. And so I always have a soft spot in my heart for how the vets helped me. I'm not a vet myself. I missed Vietnam by 2 years, but my dad was a Korean Air Force veteran.
Oh, wow.
And a bomber. And,
wow.
So
B-29?
26.
26, okay.
And so I always felt I needed to give something back to the vets. And I heard about this on the radio, of all things, and started a chapter in Appleton, and here we go. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And there's a million things you could be doing with your free time. Are you still practicing?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Yep.
Wow.
So can I just ask you a question just to hit my depression a little bit harder here?
Absolutely.
What year did you graduate from high school?
74.
Yeah, I was 75, and you're retired and living the good life. And I'm getting up at 31 degrees below zero and crawling in here and working with him.
And oversleeping.
Think about that.
Yeah.
now, who went fishing in Upper New York?
Oh, our buddy Nick.
Oh,
you,
okay.
Todd,
okay,
you saw
okay.
those pictures, huh?
Oh,
yeah.
My God, they were
mind-boggling.
Huge.
I've never seen walleye that size.
And there's a couple things with Nick. If you want to be, you talk about entrepreneurs. entrepreneur. Oh, there's risk. I mean, money. There's no job security. Nick lives the good side of being an entrepreneur because he goes. How many concerts did he go to? The Grateful Dead or what?
50 something.
Yeah.
Oh,
just, so he just has a.
He's got one of those lives.
He lives a good life, but he also is very entrepreneurial. When he works super, super hard.
Sure. He's figured it out.
Yeah, he's figured it out.
He's That's figured out. It out.
That's impressive.
He really and truly That's has. Good. Absolutely. Well, Jack, I just want to say one thing, too. One more thing. You're talking about veterans and law enforcement and everything. But we're talking about a thing, and Jim brought it up just a few minutes ago. It's all the physicians that are doing the big concert again here in Green Bay.
Yeah.
For people like yourselves, having that little bit of an outlet when you're away from the hospital. Yeah. You need that, too, don't you, doctors?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Music heals. Music has a lot of power, and it's something I don't completely understand, but I'm all for it.
That's awesome.
It is. We this Doctors in Recital is what we're referencing, but there's talk about music heals, and I just think music is such an opportunity to meet friends, to really look at your creative side.
Oh,
kind of are a little bit disciplined, and I was telling them, I have a daughter who's a doctor, but when she was angry, she would go and just play the violin or piano, and I'm like, I'm okay with that. You know, it's better than turning to something else.
Absolutely.
So,
you bet.
If she's got your temper, I can just imagine.
We went through a lot of strings, Doc. We went through a lot of strings.
I believe it.
Jack Swanson, Guitars for Veterans, bi-monthly veteran guitar jam. One more time, who would you like to see give you guys a call or drop in?
Anybody who's interested in guitar, especially veterans, but give me a
but also police, firefighters,
are you Music 6 too? I think that's all I was going to ask. Your music, so it's the same contact for Music 6 or Guitar
Success,
for Vets.
Okay. Right. Yep.
And again, if people do have good guitars they'd like to donate, they can possibly do that?
With open arms. I take them all day long, you bet. Very appreciative of that.
And they can contact us. We can contact you either for that?
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
And then you just mentioned briefly about other. Are you going to get into piano or, I don't know, clarinets or whatever?
With Music Success, as long as we have an instructor, we would offer the instrument. Yeah.
Okay. What a great organization.
So, John, when you need a kazoo instructor, John's your guy.
This is
great what you're doing. And I just think I want to just leave with the statement that, you know, music heals. And
it's
just, there's so much to it. And, you know, for you to do that, you're a retired cancer doctor. I'm sure you could go tee it up in Florida, yet you stayed here to do this. I think it's awesome.
The power of music in the hands of heroes. That's it.
Love that. Jack Swanson, Guitars for Vets. Need any more information, folks, you can contact us or you can talk or contact guitarsforvets.org. .org. All right. Kim Massey, Wild Goose Exchange will be joining us. Greg Vatney from the Roar West Museum will be joining us. Lots going on this morning. But once again, feels like 31 below outside. Back after this.
Sweeping. Still my guitar gently weep. I don't know why.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I don't know how.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks, Jack Swanson, Guitars for Veterans, a great, great organization. Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum. Amazing. 110th anniversary of the Green Bay Art Colony exhibition. That's incredible. And, of course, Big Nick here, the dog house and cheese curd manufacturer extraordinaire.
Did you know that 110-year-old organization is only women?
Oh, yeah. I know. That's what I mean. And that's why when I read Linda Drew's book, we've had on here, The Maid and the Socialite, I believe it's called. And she really captured the, whatever you want to call it, the way of life for women in those days around Green Bay. And if that's captured, and I'm 100% sure she's captured it the way it was from all the research she's done and everything, I'm shocked that women had that opportunity to become artists and display their artwork and everything. And this organization has been there every step of the way. I just think that's, I mean, that's before the Packers. They're older than the Packers.
Not much.
1919.
Yeah. Four or five years.
I mean, that's, think about it. They were
you wonder if they were underground.
Before the Green Bay Packers were around.
If they were underground.
Isn't that something?
I mean, just, we've come a long way.
Yeah. So I think it's great.
Good. Yeah.
No question about it. And the Guitars for Vets is also a really, really great organization.
That guy's impressive.
Yeah. No question about it. Did you watch any of that game last night?
No. I read about it this morning. They said that, what, 11, 12 of the players on Ohio State are going to the NFL?
Well, they had a $20 million payroll this year. So I'm not sure why they would take a pay cut.
Right, why would they go to the NFL?
And I'm not sure. Somebody brought that up the other day on our show. I forget who it was. And they brought up a great point. If you're a great athlete and you're making that money now in college, I would be in zero hurry to go into the pros. Because, you know, in college, it's like, okay, I'm getting that money, I'm getting that money, I'm getting that money. You know, in the pros, you get cut, and okay, you're out, and whatever. And I mean, it's day-to-day in the NFL.
And when you go to the NFL, you're not going to be at that level.
And not only that, but, you know, in the NFL, you got that 53-man roster, whatever, and that's it. You know, okay, if you're going to be in the practice team or whatever you make, it's not bad money, trust me, everything. But in college, you got, what, 150 guys? You're always going to be on the team.
And
you're not going to get cut.
Right. I would agree. The incentive, I mean, people leave college early for the money.
Right.
And now the incentive is, wait a minute, it's not there anymore.
No, that's exactly. And I don't know if you could ask anybody that's made it good in the NFL. You're not a bad player, you know, but they've made a career, you know, 5-6 years. Okay. Did you have more fun in the NFL or in college?
Yeah.
Inevitably, every guy will say, college. Oh, man, college was so much fun. I remember I was talking to A.J. Dillon about that.
Yeah.
The night of our thing. And I said, I got to be honest with you. I had a lot of fun in college. I said, I went to, you know, Arizona State, and I had a lot of fun. He goes, yeah, I had a lot of fun, too. I go, at Boston College? He goes, yeah. I go, really? I wouldn't think of that as being a great fun school. He goes, well, when you're starting running back, it is. Okay.
Why not, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. Got a text here from Dave. I donated my guitar to the program about 10 years ago. I am glad to hear about the success of your program.
Great.
Dave, you probably heard about when we started that with the old Mino and Nick show. I mean, we didn't start it, but started publicizing it back then, and we had the organizers, the first ones, come in and talk about it, and we didn't know if it was going to take off or not, but obviously it's been a great success, and partly, a big part, because of people like Jack Swanson, who has stayed with it, and they keep, you know, raising funds or keep it going. Because there have been, I'll tell you what, I can't even name the number of organizations, veteran-type organizations, that started up over the last, well, about 20 years now, so 2 years into the war, that are no longer exist. Wow. And in some cases, that's a really good thing because the need they were providing, it was taken care of.
It was a duplication.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that happens. And that happens a lot. And a lot of the different things, you know, the homelessness, food pantries, and people want to do good, so they want to start their own thing.
It's exactly. Like,
well, maybe it would be better if you would just join another group or go work for somebody. Yeah, and COVID also, you know, that kind of
that killed some off too.
That the people had good intentions, but they just couldn't get together. But,
yep.
Now he's really onto something here, and I'm glad to hear that he has expanded two ways. One is the pool of people, right? He's going to firefighters and first responders, police officers, and plus he's, you know, I guess everybody likes the guitar, but there's some other pretty good instruments out there.
Well, I would think the piano thing would be a great one, too. The only problem is you can't practice at home. You know, if you don't have but they say that's one of the most disciplined things, right?
Yeah, but you can, pianos aren't that expensive. It's more the space. I mean, there's, you go on Facebook, whatever that's called, Marketplace, there's pianos on there that you can get. But moving them is the pain because some people have them in the basement. It's like, I'm not going to move.
Nobody moves a piano when they move. Having been in real estate and also having worked as a mover in my day, nobody moves a piano.
Yeah, they don't.
No. But it's got to be a Steinway that grandpa built back in Germany in 1600.
And even then, you
say, it's like,
I'm not sure.
For $1,000, I'll let you have the piano.
Right?
Trust me on this. I want to know anybody in real estate that this has ever happened with where somebody says, listen, the big roll top desk, we'll keep it here for an extra $1,000. And it comes down to the very last day. It's like, nah, you guys can take the. And it's like, can we just leave it?
Yeah.
Nobody ever pays that extra for the thing.
But
it's just, can we leave it?
Yeah, moving pianos, those are heavy. Heavy instruments.
Pianos and pool tables.
Yeah, right.
Two
pool tables.
Nobody wants to move. And those big roll top desks.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of those. But anyway, they're piano. But there's a lot of things you can get synthesizer. You can get. You know,
it's kind of cool. The other day when we had the musicians in, and I thought the guy had a drum set behind us, and I turned.
Right.
And it's just that.
A box.
Yeah.
So there's.
I mean, that looked like somebody could make in a garage.
There's even smaller ones that you can wear around your neck to play.
Wow.
I was thinking about getting one after he was in here last week.
I've always wanted to be a drummer.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I would be, I would be a hot drummer.
Yeah.
I mean, me up there sleeveless shirt, headband, sweaty.
Do you realize how important a drummer is to a band?
Yeah, I just want to use the foot pedals. That seems like a little overkill.
And throw everybody off.
Yeah.
One of the most important parts, the foot pedals.
I don't think it is.
Yeah?
I don't think it is.
It's you and the bass. It's... Yeah, I mean, percussion and bass, man, that's the one that keeps it all together. No,
that's right. To me, using the foot pedals is like trying to rub tambourine. Your stomach and tap your head at the same time.
You can't do that either.
You can't do that. No. All right, we're going to start a break. We come back. You want to talk about some great, young, successful business people? We right got here. Some coming up. Kid and Aiden Massey, Wild Goose Exchange, downtown Appleton. Yeah. Back after this. So I bought me a ride down to Macon, Georgia on an overloaded poultry truck. I thumbed on down to
Panama City, started picking out some of them all-night bars. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.